Some days it feels like it takes all the energy that we have, all that we can scrape together to just keep going, to continue. How do we continue? How do we stumble forward? That's what it feels like sometimes. We often tell one another, well, just put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes it feels impossible to do. Mired as we are in our pain, paralyzed, what are we supposed to do when what we thought we knew, what we thought we were supposed to do is not possible? When everything in our world has changed, what if we understood that those directions, those instructions of fear not and do not be afraid when we already are not assurances that stuff is not going to go wrong? Because often things do go wrong, or at least not how we planned. Those words cannot and do not guarantee that everything will turn out for the best, whatever that might mean for any of us on any given day or month or year. Because if we're honest, we know that it's just not how life always is. We wish that we had some magic formula that if we just did this or just tried this or just acted this way, then the bad stuff wouldn't happen to us or anybody we loved or cared about. It would just happen to other people who weren't as good. And we all know that stuff we did not anticipate and did not wish to happen happens to the best of us. Fear not and do not be afraid are words of assurance for us to know that whatever does happen, crummy as it may be, God is with us in the midst of it all. God has the power to strengthen us and uphold us and help us get through whatever it is that we might face, and that we do not face it alone. Fear not. Even though life is uncertain and at times downright scary, fear not, because nothing any of us encounters is stronger than God's love. Nothing. They went to the tomb. The worst that they could have imagined had happened, and then they thought, we just have to do what we have to do. And they went to the tomb. Will you join me as we pray? Oh God, come into our lives again this day. Help us see beyond the empty tomb and beyond the angels, so we too might run to tell the story, and in the process run right into Jesus and fall at his feet. Oh God, in this time when we search for instant answers, Googling our questions, help us embrace the mystery of Jesus' death and resurrection with awe and reverence for how you choose to burst into our world and our lives again and again. Oh God, again this day, I humbly ask for your help as I work to bring a fresh word to your people. Do help me stay out of your way. We pray, ever grateful for the mystery of the new life you bring us through your Son, our Savior. Amen. Scripture really doesn't give us all the details. Oh, that it would have. Oh, that we could have really known exactly what happened on that morning. Not even Matthew, which contains the most information about what we now call Easter, fails to tell us everything. But if the women were going to prepare Jesus' body for burial, they must have had with them everything they needed to do so. They must have been carrying what they needed to clean him, and they must have been carrying the spices they needed for his burial. The Gospel according to Luke tells us some of that. Luke says, on the first day of the week at early dawn, they, the women, came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. The women had a particular task, and I don't know about you, but when things get really crummy, I really like it if I have a chore to do, something very specific to accomplish. It's one of my favorite times to clean the bathrooms. When things get bad, just have a horrible task that you have to, and then you can feel good about completing it. The women had that to do. They knew what had happened, and they were going to do what they could. It was their job to do so. And they were numb and in such profound grief, and it was probably easier to not even think about the fact that Jesus had died, but just focus on the job that lay ahead of them. Oh, we get that, don't we? Let's just be busy and keep doing what we need to do. I can't tell you the number of times that when people need to rest, they'll say, oh, no, I just have to keep busy. That's what's best. Well, that works for a time. But we all know we cannot keep being busy forever and ever and not rest and not face the demon that's causing us so much pain. Oh, we like to keep busy when our world crumbles around us, making it almost impossible to continue, even with the most routine of tasks. And in this story, there's lots of stuff. There's an earthquake and there's an angel. How do you keep going on when that happens? When you know that just 3 days before, your beloved friend and the one that you thought was going to change the world had been crucified, how do you just keep going on? I can only imagine that they were afraid. Multiple times, somebody's telling them to not be afraid. That's the clue. When somebody tells you don't worry, they know you already are. When we're telling you don't be afraid, it's too late. Their day unfolded with all sorts of scary stuff, and at the same time, sort of weirdly joy-filled stuff, unexpected events. I can easily imagine the overwhelming temptation to just drop to the ground and try to process what was happening. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There they will see me. They were afraid. How could they not be? They were afraid and filled with joy all at the same time. It sounds strange, I know. How can you be afraid and filled with joy all at the same time? Oh, but really, it's a very familiar feeling, right? You know this. It's that feeling, that experience when we fall in love. It's scary. And it's wonderful. It's the feeling of a birth of a child. It's really scary. When we have our first child, you have no clue what you're getting into. No one tells all the details, thank God, or we'd be a population in crisis. It's scary, and it is the most joy-filled moments of our lives. Those times when we embark on new adventures, those ones where we only partially know what we're getting into, you know, like starting school or a new school, starting a new job, volunteering at a new place where we haven't volunteered ever before, heck, even trying to drive somewhere we've never been before. Retirement is without a doubt a scary new adventure. So I've heard. We're afraid and filled with excitement all at the same time. It's kind of like that first day of school that is so scary every year and yet so exciting. Uncertain, most definitely, of how to best continue when those really frightening things happen. We're tempted to retreat, kind of just cocoon ourselves, to wallow in our own confusion and just feel like we can't go on and not take that next step. We do, particularly when we are hurt, physically or emotionally, and we can't experience any more. It's a safe thing to do. Stop. I'm not talking to anyone. I'm not going out. I'm not going to say anything. I can't do this. I hurt too much. But when we do that, we can only pray that some really good friends come and knock on our door and jerk us out of our pity party. Because if we stay in that place, that place of despair, we become victims that are defined by our misfortune. We allow our fears to overshadow the possibilities and the opportunities that God is placing before us. Bad stuff happens. And then there are new possibilities. And we often cannot see through the clouds to what that might be. And we're tempted to retreat. Indeed, it is as if we find ourselves standing outside the empty tomb and we can't process what just happened. We're unable to hear the good news and we start trying to rationalize, was that really an angel? Who is that? No wonder the gospel stories are all just a little bit different. What happened? And it's scary. But continuing to not boot up any options of possible movement into the future is never a good option. What happened does not feel like a gift that we just received, but do not be afraid keeps cycling in our brains. Do not be afraid. Really? With all that happened and all that is not what used to be, how can any of us continue? How can we go on? How can I now? Imagine those were questions that Millie Gordon asked herself. She must have when her world spun out of control. Maybe you can identify. Life was just going on like normal, and then one day her husband came home and said he was leaving her. And he walked out of her life. Growing up, Millie had always wanted a career in music. She took classes. She went to Juilliard School in New York City for a short period of time. But when marriage came and kids came, she put all that aside and it took a back seat to the rest of her life. She was busy. We get that, right? And now this happens. And her husband of many, many years suddenly is gone. A few days after her husband left, Millie had a dream. A dream about young men reaching their arms through prison bars. How weird is that? When she woke up, after the shock of that dream, you know, we've all had those dreams, you wake up and it's just like your heart's racing, and you think, what was that about? After she had time to sort of process it, she thought, that's what it is. And she remembered a phone call that she'd gotten 2 years earlier from a man who was in charge of hiring at Western Youth Institution. It was a prison for hardcore juvenile offenders. At that time, 2 years ago, they had asked her to start up a music program in the prison. And she said, I can't do that. I'm busy. It was located really close to her home, huge facility, 16 stories tall. Kind of makes my heart break thinking there was a need for that big of a facility for hardcore young men offenders. Right between her home, Asheville and Charlotte, North Carolina. And she refused. Can't do that. Now, however, everything had changed. And so she made a phone call. She thought, I wonder if there's any chance at all they might still need a music person in a prison. I mean, how often does a prison need a music person? So she called to see if the job was still available, and of course, it was. Millie, now in her late 80s, has been working in that prison for more than 30 years. She says her music classes and her choirs are made up of the state's roughest and youngest offenders. Some of them have committed murder. Many of them are rapists. Millie says they've done just about any horrible crime that you could think of, but I treat them all like my grandsons. Wow. She says, I never ask any of them about their crimes or their previous life. And she says, perhaps the secret to my success with them also is that I always bring butterscotch candy. She never judges. So outside the entrance to this big prison, there is only one reserved parking place. It's Millie's. Big sign, reserved for Millie Gordon. And I would imagine that most of the visitors that come to that facility have no clue that Millie Gordon is the music teacher. I don't know, but I don't think music teachers often get reserved parking places. You see, when life was its darkest, when she was filled with despair, when she felt betrayed and angry and unable to continue, Millie responded to a new great adventure, one that God placed before her. Millie understands that there is always a to be continued, always. A to be continued in each one of our lives, regardless of how old we are or where we live or what we have already accomplished. There's always a to be continued. We are each invited into new life again and again, even now. That's the thing about Easter. The tomb was empty, and there was an earthquake and an angel and the gift of new life for all of us. Easter is all about Jesus, but it's not just about Jesus. Easter is about each one of us and all of us. Easter is about living, and it's not just about death, and it's not just about life after death. Easter is about real life here and now. Easter is about not having to die to live. Easter is not just about the past and what God did for us through Jesus, although it is about that. Easter is about the future, about our futures, and the days we live into now. There will be those days, days when what we thought we were going to do dramatically changes. There will be disappointment and anger. Perhaps for moments we'll feel like we're unable to take that next step, at least for a time. Do not be afraid. The tomb is empty. Jesus claimed his new life. May we claim ours. Life is to be continued. Go and tell. Oh God, may it be so. May it be so.